meeting for Monday, February 20th, to order. I think we are still one short of a quorum, and we'll trust that we'll get at least one more before we have to take action on the bill, but I thought we could at least start with the testimony. Apologize for getting started a little bit late, but people are off somewhere. I know where they all are today. But Senator Lilly, would you like to begin your testimony?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you very much for having me here today. We're going to hear House File, actually, 1766, which is a bill relating to human services, modifying child care assistance payments and payments of funds. This bill is actually a response to Governor Mark Dayton's recent executive order calling for a vote on unionization of private, independent, in-home child care providers. On December 5th, 2011, a temporary restraining order was issued blocking the governor's unionization vote, that was scheduled to start on December 7th, 2011. The summary judgment hearing is now scheduled to occur on Wednesday the 22nd in a Ramsey County courthouse. Federal law does not allow payment of union dues or other child care fees, child care subsidies that it is provided, but Minnesota law lacks such a statute. So creating a significant loophole should the governor's executive order be allowed to go forward. This bill makes it so that union dues and fair share fees may not be deducted from child care assistance payments and directly deposited. This bill ensures that child care assistance dollars are applied directly to the care of children instead of being diverted directly to unions. And this bill establishes a layer of protection to maintain the integrity of child care assistance monies. And actually, if we refer to the bill, it's a very simple couple lines in the bill. Basically, it states union dues or fair share fees may not be deducted from funds distributed under this chapter. So, Mr. Chairman, that is my beginning. We have a number of folks who are here to testify on the bill. These are daycare providers, child care providers from the area. And I'd like to go ahead and start to call on them.
All right. Thank you, Senator Lilly. I think we do have a quorum. And so I have a list of testifiers. I'd like to ask them to come up one at a time. First, we have Cisa Keller, I believe. I hope I have your name right.
Yep.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Cisa Keller. I'm the Government Relations Committee Chair for the Minnesota Child Care Association. MCCA is an association of over 200 privately owned child care centers throughout Minnesota. We are here today in support of House File 1766, which would exclude the use of child care assistance dollars for the use of paying union dues or fair share fees. The Child Care Assistance Program is a program intended to help low-income families with their child care expenses while they work, look for work, or pursue their education. These funds have been underfunded since 2003 and currently do not reflect the true cost of care in Minnesota. So every penny of these funds needs to go towards providing services for these families, or the remainder of the cost will become the responsibility of these families. While the original intent of the Child Care Assistance Program was a back-to-work program for low-income adults, there has emerged a second function of school readiness for children in child care. MCCA's concern is that with the already very low reimbursement rates, the potential use of CCAP dollars for union dues or fair share fees would become a disincentive for providers to accept CCAP families in their programs, therefore reducing the number of child care choices families have. Minnesota currently has over 7,000 families on a wait list waiting to receive child care assistance. These families have all demonstrated that they could work immediately if they had help with their child care assistance. These numbers all demonstrate again that every dollar of child care assistance is desperately needed for service and services only. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Thank you. Seeing none, we'll ask the next testifier, Heather Faw. She's available. Welcome to our committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Heather Falk. Thank you for having us, Mr.
And I'm going to ask you if you could pull the microphone close so that we can hear your testimony.
Voice.
So you might have to bring it very close.
Closer. All right.
My name is Heather Falk, and I've been a child care provider in Cloquet, Minnesota for the last 10 years. In that 10-year period of time, the number of children I've had on the CCAP program has fluctuated. The last 4 years, I'd care for seven children on the CCAP program. As of September, when they went off to school, I'm down to two. In the summer, that number will increase. I'm also a single mother of three small children. I receive no support or help outside of my child care income. I need to make a bottom line of $125 a week per child. When a family from CCAP comes to me, and I, from these committees, that seems to be a confusion, I get a call from a parent who would like to see my program. We set up an interview. They come, we go over the logistics, and at that point, sometimes they'll say, I receive CCAP funding. I say, okay. We come up with the contract that regardless of what county reimburses me at, they need to pay the difference. And they understand that. They still select to come with me, and that's why I had seven children. I would like support on this bill because what we've seen in other states, even though the executive order says nothing about dues being collected, the original executive orders in nine states don't mention compulsory dues or fair share fees. Only after the union gets a contract and wants to collect these fees, an additional executive order is presented. The problem, if this bill doesn't pass, is parent access to child care. In my community, and in your packets, there should be a letter from one of my child care moms who went and did some calling of other child care providers in our community. She contacted 33 providers. Only four said they'd continue to take CCAP families if dues are deducted. At our meeting last week, I had a provider tell me that she will not take any new CCAP families as of now for fear that that could be coming down the line because of what's gone on in other states. Parents need to keep their choice. This is their benefit, not our benefit. And if she only had four choices to bring her child to out of 33, that's not fair to them. The fear of dues for us as child care providers is great. In some of the states, there's approximately 2% fair share fee taken. Based off of my seven children number, that would be $60 a month or $720 a year. For me, that equals my year-round curriculum and all the art supplies that go with it. Or it could purchase me a new swing set and pay for my movement specialist that I hire in each week. Not having the fear of those dues coming out saves me a big peace of mind. I urge you to support this bill. The CCAP funds are a benefit for low-income families, and parents do not need the extra stress of who will accept my children. Parents should have the option of who do I want to bring my children to. This bill also doesn't say what we do with our money as a provider. It doesn't say we can't pay dues. CCAP funds are not ours. They're the families. Once that is deposited into our account, it's very easy to pay like we do with everything else. It doesn't say they can't collectively bargain. It doesn't prohibit the union in any way. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any questions for the witness? All right. Thank you, Ms. Falk. Next we have Tabitha Gordon-Zimmer. Welcome to our committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, I am Tabitha Zimmer. I'm a daycare provider in Sturgeon Lake in Pine County. Do you guys, Mr. Chair of the committee, do you have any questions for me?
Maybe if you could tell us, are you supporting or opposing the legislation?
I'm opposing. I mean, I support the bill. I do not want to daycare providers to be any of the union. All I have to say, kind of short and sweet, is that if the unions are forcibly trying to get money from a direct account, there's a gray area, there's something wrong. If we are willing, if we like the union and they're doing awesome, yes, we'd be willing to pay out of our own pocket. But they know that if they know they're not probably going to do a whole lot for us, and so therefore go this route. So, and this is a Minnesota state. A lot of providers don't know that there's fair share involved. So basically, if they were educated, knowing that there was fair shares, they would definitely 100% oppose. When I called a lot of the providers in Pine County and other counties, they did not know that there was a fair share coming through. And so we had to educate them, and they're like, oh, no way, we don't want unit at all, because what are they going to do for us? And I said, exactly. If they were going to do stuff for us, we'd be willing to pay them. And but we don't see anything, and so it's the other way.
All right. Are there questions for the witness? Okay. Thank you for your testimony.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks. Next, we have Katie Chase. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm Katie Chase, Executive Director of Minnesota Licensed Family Child Care Association, or MLFCCA. We are the state affiliate to the National Association for Family Child Care. MLFCCA represents Minnesota's licensed family child care providers with a membership that extends to 5,000 family child care businesses. Our full board consists of family child care leaders from over 20 county family child care associations throughout the state of Minnesota. One of those county board representatives is pro-union. However, our board voted to support this bill, House File 1766. MLFCCA is neutral on the issue of family child care unionization. We support this bill because we are opposed to any type of deduction from CCAP funds that are outside its purpose. CCAP money is intended to help families pay for child care. In fact, CCAP money in the past has been paid directly to the family, not to the provider, with the intention that the family would then use that money to pay the provider. The families should not be directly paying any of the provider's business expenses with CCAP dollars. CCAP payments are meant for service provided, nothing else. If deductions for business expenses are made directly from fees paid for service, small business owners generally adapt their budgets to make up that loss. If they do not adjust their budget to make up for lost revenue, they will simply have less money with which to provide quality child care services. MLFCCA does not support any type of deduction from CCAP payments. We would support all bills that disallow CCAP money being used outside its purpose. Allowing deductions for anything other than child care services from CCAP payments weakens a system that is already unable to serve over 7,000 qualifying families. MLFCCA strives to look at each bill based on whether or not it supports our mission. Our mission is to support the highest standard of care for children in Minnesota's diverse licensed family child care homes through advocacy, professional development, and recognition. We do not evaluate legislative action on whether it is pro or anti-union. Thank you. Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Ms. Chase. Any questions from members? All right. Seeing none, thank you. Next, we have Jackie Harrington. I hope I pronounced your name correctly.
Harrington, sorry.
Please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Jackie Harrington. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm a licensed family child care provider in Rochester, Minnesota, and have partnered with families for their child care for the past 12 years. I'm here today to urge you to support Senate File 1630 and to also thank Senator Lilly and Representative Lohmer for hearing the voices of child care providers who brought this issue forward and for them for bringing this issue to a bill. First, I would like to echo testimony from the child care providers here today and those that sent in written testimony. We urge you to support this bill to maintain access and availability of quality licensed family child care options to families aided by the Child Care Assistance Fund. In my conversations with providers in my county, Olmsted County, I have heard many indicate that if union dues or fees become associated with the CCAP program, they will make a personal business decision to discontinue offering care to current and future CCAP-funded families. In the event of union due or fee deductions through CCAP funds, the unintentional consequence would reduce access to four CCAP-funded families who are seeking quality licensed family child care options. Secondly, I'm here today to assure you that Senate File 1630 does not impede a union's ability to organize and collect dues. The proposed union organization of child care providers does not hinge on how union dues or fees are collected. In fact, today, right now, providers who choose to participate in a union organization effort can do so by simply filling out the membership and due payment card and are offered two ways to make a union due payment. And I'll refer to you to your packet of information in which you will find an SEIU Kids First membership and due payment card. And I have an example here. They simply need to indicate their method of payment, either through a direct debit to their checking account or via their credit card. This is the simplest means of due collection for a union who is meant to have voluntary membership. Lastly, I would add that there is a clear and concise language that defines the role of the state in the proposed child care union. The governor's executive order clearly outlined child care providers are not deemed employees of the state. And also Minnesota Statute 119B.09 subdivision 8 dictates the same status, and I'm going to quote that. Receipt of federal, state, or local funds by a child care provider, either directly or through a parent who is a child care assistant recipient, does not establish an employee-employer relationship between the child care provider and the county or state. In my opinion, this leaves no role for the state or its agencies to act as an employer for the collection of dues or fees between a union and its member. And I have a copy of that statute if you need that, and I'll pass that through. Potentially using CCAP funds for the deduction of fees would place the state and county in the role of an employer, which runs contrary to the executive order and statute 119B.09. And again, CCAP funds are not a needed mechanism for due and fee collection and would place the state of Minnesota in an employer's role in direct conflict with the statute and the executive order. So again, I urge you to support Senate File 1630. Unions currently have an easy-to-use means for collecting dues. Senate File 1630 eliminates any potential barrier for providers who would want to serve CCAP families but would choose otherwise if a union due or fee was associated with the program. And thereby, CCAP-funded families will continue to have access to all quality licensed family child care options in their communities. I thank you for hearing my testimony.
Thank you, Ms. Harrington. Any questions from members? Seeing none, thank you. The last person I have on the list of testifiers is Pat Gentz. Welcome to our committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity. We're really grateful to be here today. My name is Pat Gentz, and I've been a licensed family child care provider in Dakota County for 28 years. I'm here today in full support of Senate File 1630, which prohibits the extraction of any dues or fees from the Child Care Assistance Program. There are many reasons why I support this bill. Perhaps the most important is that CCAP is a public benefit that is intended to help low-income families pay for the care of their children. CCAP is not a benefit intended for child care providers. To deduct any fees from CCAP payments will directly deprive struggling families of the financial resources that they desperately need to pay for the care of their children. Not only would the deduction of fees from CCAP payments deprive needy families of essential financial resources, it will also limit their choices among child care services available to them. I've talked to many child care providers that have said they will not be able to accept children on the subsidy program if they're forced to pay compulsory fees to any organization as a condition of serving these families. While it's true that there are no fair share fees right now, this could be changed down the road with another executive order or through legislation. There is enough fear among many providers that this will happen. Some providers have already stopped enrolling new CCAP families. Passing this bill would help alleviate some of that fear providers have when deciding whether or not to accept families on child care assistance. It only makes good sense, common sense, that any payment of dues or fees should be made between the provider and the organization. It is also important to remember that the state is not a child care provider's employer, and deductions should not be made from a CCAP reimbursement. No other deductions are taken from CCAP. Union dues or any other fee should be no different. CCAP is intended to serve one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to help working families afford child care, to take scarce financial resources from working families and home-based child care businesses and transfer these resources to anyone else is directly at odds with its purpose. In closing, I want to thank Senator Lilly and Representative Lohmer for responding to providers who brought this concern forward. And I want to state that I fully support Senate File 1630. This bill will protect families and providers, and it will provide parents with the financial assistance they need to access quality child care providers, and it will keep all licensed child care options available for Minnesota families. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there questions for the Senator Marty?
Mr. Chair, not a question for the witness, but maybe comments, several comments for Senator Lilly. And this is a very, very, very unusual bill because usually we have a problem that we're trying to address. And here we have one that, you know, if this happens, and then if this happens, and then if this happens, and then they try and collect fair share payments, their union dues out of these payments from the state, then we're going to ban that. And I can understand if those, if this and if that and if this and if the following things all happened, then maybe we would need this legislation. And if so, I'd be happy to support it. I don't know all the people from which unions are working on this. I don't know if any of them are here, but I'm gathering they're not here if they're not here because they don't, nobody's planning to do this. And it really has kind of a straw man argument. One of the witnesses, I think, just said, you know, this would be in direct contradiction to the executive order. And I'm not sure if I heard that right, but that's what I think I heard. And I also thought that the executive order did talk about it being a voluntary thing. If a majority of whoever is voting on it, and I know we can argue who should vote on it if there is a vote and so on, but if there is a vote on it, and people decide to do it, and it's a voluntary thing, and that's what it's agreed upon, then, you know, it's kind of a, yeah, then maybe we should talk about doing this. But fair share, one of the providers said something about checking all the providers in their county and finding out a lot of them would be really alarmed if this was to happen. And normally, if you're the people who you're trying to stop doing something aren't even proposing something, you don't usually try and ban it before it's proposed. So I guess that's a general comment that the bill seems to be very unusual in that nobody's even proposing something and now you're going to ban it in case somebody ever thinks of proposing it. And the other comment I'll make is just a general concern about sliding fee child care. I've carried a bill that would eliminate the waiting list, that would greatly beef up the funding for it. And I think it's a greatly, desperately shortly funded program. I opposed the cuts in the bill in the program last year, and I think that that's a real issue. From what I had heard from some of the people last fall when they were coming around saying what they were trying to do, they were saying, you know, they'd like people who can talk about these issues here at the Capitol, and I wish somebody would. And I know once in a while I'll hear from a child care provider about it, but frankly, for the amount of child care subsidy we're providing people and the waiting list for it, I mean, it's not really helpful to help somebody get a job. They're, hey, I found a job. I can go to work on Monday. And the employer says, can you start on Monday? And yeah, I can start on Monday. I just got to line up my child care. Well, there's a 2-year waiting list. Well, that's not a very good way of getting whatever. So I think when the child care providers are saying that there's not enough money in this, I think if we do want people who need affordable child care to get child care so they can go to work, that's an issue we ought to fix. And again, I'm not opposed to saying we should do this if we about 10 things happen, but the idea that nobody's asking for this, nobody's proposed this, one of your witnesses said that this would be in direct contradiction if this was to happen, that there'd be fair share fees and so on, that was in direct contradiction to what the executive order was. I've heard of creating a straw man and then blowing it away. Well, this is blowing away a straw man that far beyond anybody's talking about. So maybe I'm missing something here, but it seems to me everybody's talking about something that nobody's proposed. We're going to make sure it couldn't happen if anybody ever did decide they might want to propose it. Is that a misstatement of what's happening?
Senator Lilly.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Marty, thank you for the questions. Actually, if we're talking about standard operating processes that we generally go through, I don't think there's much about this whole process that is standard. Governor Dayton is doing this by executive order. He is implementing a unionized situation across the state of Minnesota. You mentioned strong men, strong man, but I think this is strong women in most cases that have come to us and offered an alternative for us to find a way to block this process. There is a judge that has imposed a waiting time here that we're going to wait and see what happens with this. We need to hear that conversation. But across the state of Minnesota, child care providers have come to us and said, we do not feel that it's right to take these funds that are meant for children and place them in the union's hands. They would prefer to see us offer an alternative to them so that they are able to pay those dues if they should so choose, but it should not be a direct withdrawal from their account that comes from the state to the families or to the providers.
Senator Marty?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lilly, first of all, it was straw man I was talking about, not strong man.
Sorry, creating
a straw man argument, you create a fake argument and then you knock it down because it's so easy to knock over. But in terms of this unionized system that the governor is putting in place, I'll agree with you, this is not typical. I mean, I think of a union as an employer-employee kind of thing. But in terms of, I guess I'd think of it more of association that works together and so on. But when everybody involved that I've heard from, and again, I haven't heard from a lot of people and I haven't heard from anyone about it since last fall, everybody is saying we're going to have a voluntary thing and no fair share payments and nobody's asking for that and so on, then going around and saying, well, if they change their mind and ask for this, and if they succeed in getting that, and if this and if all these other things happen, then we want to make sure they're not going to be able to take it out of these funds. Well, yeah, I'll support this at that time. I just don't see that anybody's asking for it, so it seems very strange to say that all this stuff might happen, and in that case, then we'd want to ban it.
Did you wish to, please?
Mr. Chair, the ifs aren't little ifs. AFSCME and SEIU have done this in 9 states, uniformly in 9 states. Illinois' executive order, these states didn't mention compulsory fees or fair share fees at all. The first executive orders left it out. The second statute change was to add it in. The unions put these initial executive orders in as a camel's nose under the tent. It's gone on in every single state that they're affiliated with. Illinois, under executive order number 20051, and then a statute that follows. I have all 9 states if you want to see it. It's not a It's not a, oh, this could happen. This is their intent. This is what they intend to do here in Minnesota, as they've done in every other state that they've come into.
Mr. Chairman, I, again, I'm not aware of any of those things. You can send me the stuff on the executive orders and so on. I just think when an executive order is saying, and I believe, and I may be wrong because I frankly haven't read this executive order since last, whenever it was, last October, September, when we had a, that time I thought, urgent hearing on the issue. And at that time, I don't recall, I thought it said that it was going to be a voluntary thing. Not just voluntary in terms of the vote, but voluntary membership among those who wanted to participate. And yeah, I don't know the other states. I'll look at them, and maybe they all change their mind and so on, and maybe that could happen here. If so, I'll agree that I'd be willing to support this at that time, because I'm not willing to go out there. I'm sure maybe everybody will vote for this thing, but it seems bizarre way to legislate, to say if this, then this, then this, then this. And we can point out somebody in Illinois or somebody who's done this, and maybe they're going to try the same thing here. But people who talked to me said it was going to be voluntary. And I guess I think we should take people at their words, and if they change their minds, then we can change our minds. But
Senator Nino, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, just a comment to this. Senator Lilly, I don't think had the pleasure of serving in the informational hearing that we had on this subject last year. But I did, so I'll speak to that a little bit. And I do agree with Senator Marty that we don't need to create laws to fix problems that maybe might have sort of kind of exist. But I don't think this particularly falls into that category. When we had the informational hearing on this, a lot of questions were asked about what does this process look like, what does voluntary mean, does that mean that the aggregate group votes, and if a majority is made, everyone has therefore opted in. If that's the case, does everybody pay dues or just some of the people pay dues? What if they don't want, and what is fair share? None of those questions really had substantive answers. We got a lot of, well, we're not sure yet, that's in the works, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in that context, I don't think that makes this proposal an answer for a non-existent problem. I think that makes this proposal an answer to an unidentified potential problem, because nobody can tell us why it's not a problem when we asked those questions. So I don't necessarily disagree with the points that Senator Marty is making. I disagree with the applicability to this particular proposal.
Right. I want to see if there's any other testimony. I don't have any other names on my list, and I know there are a few other people here in the room. Is there anybody else who'd like to testify, and if so, please come forward and identify yourself. Senator Higgins, did you have a question for the witness?
Mr. Chair, I just had a question. Would it be possible that these, or maybe it happens now, if these small business people wanted to have a charitable deduction come out of their subsidy every month, is that allowed now? You know, your United Way, if you wanted to do something like that?
Senator Higgins, I'm not sure.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Falk, did you have a question?
It is not allowed.
It's not allowed.
The money under the statute belongs to the parents until after the check is deducted and received by the provider.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
It is not allowed. The money from CCAP is not the provider's, it's the parents, until the provider receives the money in her checking account.
So, Ms. Falk, your testimony is that currently that no other kinds of deductions are permitted with this money.
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay. Senator Higgins, would you? You look like you're ready to ask a question.
I think I was, but I'm not quite sure what I wanted to say. I'm trying to think about, you know, my paycheck, for example. It's the state's money until it gets into my checking account. But you know, I can still have charitable deductions. I can have all manner, and I do have all manner of deductions taken out of it. So I'm kind of curious about why this would be different if it is in effect the same sort of payment. It is payment for work that has been done. I'm like Senator Marty. I just think this whole thing is premature and kind of less important than many other things that we could be doing here. And it actually kind of reminds me, Senator Nino, you actually made me think of the voter ID bill that's going forward. You know, you were talking about it's a somebody's decided that this is a problem, and yet whenever any questions are asked on how something is going to happen in the future, the answer is always somebody else will figure it out. And so that's kind of what we've been hearing on the voter ID bill as well.
All right. Thank you. For the witness that just arrived, could you please identify yourself for the record?
Hi, I'm Ellen Hurley. I live in Eden Prairie, and I am a citizen here who does not represent anyone except myself. And so my comments are representative of only of myself. The only reason that I am testifying today is because I did happen to sit in on when the House file, I think 1766, was heard in the House Human Health and Human Services Reform Committee a week or two ago. And as I sat there in the two hours of testimony, I had absolutely no idea, of course, when I entered the room, what the bill was about. I had no idea. I had no prior knowledge. I had heard in the news about the union votes and things like that. And the chair of that committee continued to ask for testimony opposing the bill. And I was like, I sat there on my hands at that time, and I said, you know what? If it comes up again and somebody asks to testify against the bill, I will do it today. So that's why I'm here. Because there was no testimony in the House, and I don't hear any testimony here today. Nobody has shown up here to testify it. And I listened to the 2 hours of testimony there, and I have absolutely no reason, in other words, the testifiers didn't convince me. I'm just a citizen. Now, what worries me about my testimony today is what worries me most about it is that I'm not sure that it's going to convince and change anybody's mind here. That people have come into this committee with their minds already made up based on their position about unions. We haven't had the union vote yet. A representative in the other committee said, this is putting the cart before the horse. And my response in my mind, I said, the cart and the horse are not even in the same vicinity of each other. The cart's still in the barn. The horse is out to pasture. These two things, the union vote has not happened yet. We do not even know if we're going to have a union vote in the state for child care providers. And yet they're introducing this bill and saying, oh, well, if we have a union vote, which we don't even know that that's going to happen because the judge has stayed that vote, has postponed that vote. If we have a union vote, then this might be a problem. If we have a union vote and it turns out that the Governor Dayton changes his mind and makes another executive order that says this is not voluntary. After all, I changed my mind. Every single person now that we have a union, every single person that's a child care provider, a licensed child care provider from Minnesota, and receives CPAP funds, and there's an issue about that. I know there's, you know, people who have agreed to receive them but don't have any kids in their care, and all kinds of dispute about who's going to get to vote, and I understand that too. But we haven't even gotten to the vote yet. And we don't even know if we're going to have a union. And now they're saying, oh, well, we have to make the assumption that we're going to have a union, that the governor is going to go back on his word and create an executive order that says all union dues and fair share dues have to be collected from every single union member, every single child care provider that's licensed with the state that receives CPAP funds, that has to happen. And then the other silly thing to me is, I'm sorry, but whatever amount you have, $60 is $60. If I go to the bank and I take out $60 from my savings account, that's the same equivalent exact thing as if I go to the bank and I take out $60 from my checking account. It has absolutely no difference. It's still $60. And I agree that, yeah, if these people that are worried, I understand. But if it comes out of CPAP funds, from my understanding, from what I heard in the testimony in the House committee, it would be a voluntary withdrawal that the provider would get to take to say to the state, okay, take it out of my funds so that I don't have to worry about it. From the coming from the state, it would be voluntary on this by the that deduction. And if they didn't want to do it, they could say, okay, I will do it myself and I will take it out of my own checking account and I'll fill out the forms. But this idea that because it comes out of CPAP funds makes it more valuable, and that's the other thing. This money, and this was testimony in the House because they had somebody from the Department of Health, Human Services there verified that this money, it used to go to the families. And it did used to go to families, and the families paid the provider. But guess what? It doesn't. That hasn't happened. It goes directly to the providers. And the Department of Human Services, I think, I'm not sure what department it was, but there was somebody from the department there. She said, we consider it to be the provider's money, not the families. And that is direct contradiction to a testimony that I heard here today. What I'm really concerned about, I want to repeat this one more time, is that I'm really, really concerned about the fact that my testimony will not change anybody's mind here, that everybody's already made their mind up before they even came into this meeting. And that's really what ticks me off. As a citizen of the state, I'm tired of the partisanship. I'm tired of that attitude. I am testifying completely unprepared, completely, this is not my issue, but the issue of the people who came in here today, did you come in here with your minds already made up, or did you already decide that, or did you willingly listen to the meeting? Because I haven't heard very many questions. And in the House, they had all kinds of questions. And I want to go back to Senator Marty's point too. That was the issue. This program is severely underfunded. You know, give these people a break. But stop coming in here with your minds made up about these issues before you even hear the testimony. Thank you.
Are there any questions? Are there any other individuals who wish to testify? Please come forward. Ms. Falk, did you have a comment?
Mr. Chair, I wanted to address the question that Senator Higgins had gone before the previous testifier. And I agree with the previous testifier. Sometimes when you're sitting up here, it feels like different sides have made up their mind without hearing facts. But as far as CCAP funds go, I kind of look at it like this. If you were to come to my child care and I were to ask for your banking routing number to have my mortgage automatically withdrawn from it, because eventually that money is going to be mine, it's kind of the same idea.
No, it really isn't.
All right. Person who just arrived, could you please identify yourself for the record?
Mr. Chair, my name is Holly Sable, and I'm a licensed family child care provider in St. Michael. I was not going to testify today, but I think there are a few things that I wanted to address because I think there's a lot of misinformation going around. I have Governor Dayton's executive order from November 31st in front of me right now, and under number 10, it says, quote, nothing in this order shall be construed to require participation or the involuntary payment of dues by any family child care provider. It says nothing in this should be construed. It does not mean that they will be required to pay fair share fees. It does not say that they will not have to pay fair share fees. And the governor does not have the authority to legislate. Anyways, Minnesota is a fair share state. He does not have the authority to strike a law just by an executive order. You all know that, and I don't need to tell you that, but I think that's really important. And the legislature considers bills all the time that are so-called preemptive in nature. So this isn't the first one. I don't think this is so outrageous. And there aren't that many ifs in order for this to happen. All they would have to say is we want to take fair share fees out. And bam, fair share fees be deducted from CCAP payments. That's the only if. And the unions have been very careful to say union dues will always be voluntary, or union membership will always be voluntary. That's true. That's with every union. It's voluntary. They have never said, but we're not going to take fair share fees out. They've never said that. And I think that needs to be made clear, too, is that in all these other states, they're taking fair share fees out. These are the same unions, SEIU and AFSCME. It's not like they're completely new to the child care unionization issue. They've been doing this in other states, and they're taking fair share fees out, and they're taking it from subsidy payments, and they're taking that, you know, up to $900-something a year out of people's subsidy checks. And, you know, as we Senator Higgins, you know, asked about, can charitable deductions be taken out of those subsidy payments? And the answer is no. I mean, that'd be great, but as Heather pointed out, those subsidy payments are not a benefit to providers. Those are for parents, and it's like a gift certificate or a voucher for the parent to say, here's the amount I've been allowed. So it's not, we can't be taking money from parents to be paying for our union dues. If the unions want, say it's truly voluntary for people to join a union, then why don't they allow people to check a box that says, yes, take it right out of my subsidy payment? If they truly were saying that it's voluntary, why would that be such a horrible thing to say to them? Or, as Jackie Harrington pointed out, she showed the card that said they can deduct it automatically from their checking account, or they can send in a check each month. That is their choice. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Saville. Are there any other questions? Seeing none, Senator Lilly, my understanding is that this bill needs to be referred to the State Government Innovation and Veterans Committee. And I just would like to say I appreciate you bringing the bill. And just for maybe partially in response to Senator Marty, the point that you made, I think it's a fair point. There are things that we do prospectively. But my recollection is that this whole issue of unionizing home daycare providers was not on anybody's radar before the governor issued his executive order last fall. I've been in the Senate 8 years. I've never had providers come to me and say that this is something they need to do. I've never had representatives of the union come and tell me this is something they need to do. So this emerged sort of out of the blue. I think at that point last fall when we first heard this, some of us may have wished that we had something in statute that would have addressed that issue, not knowing that the governor was going to try to do something through executive order that some of us anyway believe is not appropriate and may stray into the realm of lawmaking. But be that as it may, I do support the bill. I think it is something that is needed. And I appreciate, Senator Lilly, you're bringing it. But we do need a motion, and I get a note that Senator Rosen, did you have a question?
No, Mr. Chair, I was going to move the bill, but it's a House file. So
it's House File 1766, and if you would like to make the motion.
I can do that with the House File. Then.
All right, okay. Senator,
I so move that House File 1766 be recommended to pass.
And referred to the State Government Innovation and Veterans Committee. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Bill passes. The motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members.
Thank you, Senator Lilly. And members, we have two bills tomorrow. Both Senator Benson and Senator Cruz have a bill. So I appreciate your being here tomorrow on time, and we are adjourned.